The gospel is a fitting departure today for me to say thank you for whoever gave me these flowers. You know who you are, and I know who you are, but you didn't know that I was going to thank you today in front of everybody. They were in my office as a great surprise, and the first thing that happened when I walked in my office was I was struck. My gosh, beautiful. And then the second thing, I wonder who they're from. I also received a card from someone different that, as I opened, said, "Dear Father John and missionaries, I want to thank you for all you have, how you have positively impacted my life and time at USD. The Newman was always my calm space and brought me great memories and friendship." This is, to me, the culmination of having seen these flowers. The recognition of something beautiful, the recognition of something that grew, the recognition that something that opened me up, but ultimately opened me up to recognize that whatever has opened up inside this person is the reason with which we're here. That we are something beautiful, that you are someone beautiful, that you are someone the Lord desires to feed and grow in such a way that you would open up and provide a beauty to this world and a fragrance wherever it is that you go. And so I know that each of you in your own unique ways can likely offer examples of the way in which you too have seen something happen through your own life. A way in which you are a unique blossom that God made happen. And this gathering of flowers is a great reminder to us that each are unique and different. And yes, it's always nice when you have a dozen red roses. But this is more emblematic of what God does. Each has its place. Some must be taller and some must be shorter. Some must be one color and some must be another color. Some must be round and a particular kind, and some must be fluffy and have the context, the texture, the difference. And together, you then say, "Ah, a vase of flowers." It's also likely that we can forget what it's like to be something God made happen. We can forget what it's like to be fed from the vine of the church, especially when everyone else around us seems to be growing too. There's a temptation or a possibility that we say, "How come I'm not that one? How come I'm not taller or shorter or bigger or littler? Or more fragrant or less fragrant, or this kind or that?" And we lose the fact that God has already done something unique with us. But when we begin to see what happens when one isn't connected to the vine, when we begin to see the opposite of a vase of flowers that's filled with life, we see that, I'd rather be this than one who is wilting. And isn't it true that so many of us have experienced in our own journey, in our own life, whether it be students that you go to school with or people that you're at home with, or maybe you, in the journey that you have taken, understand very clearly what it means when you're not rooted in Him. And we live in an age in which the world is desperate for beautiful things and oftentimes is gazing upon false imitation. But you offer the world something beautiful. And so we prepare here in the next few weeks to travel home, or to travel to new homes, to find new places in which God desires for you to provide a fragrance that He has given into this world. How does this happen? How does it happen that we may remain someone who is alive and someone who has what it is that God gave us? The gospel reminds us that we will be pruned. The gospel shows us that there is a way, and it's to stay connected to him. The gospel also has a very, very clear instruction. Jesus reminds us that remaining is the key. Listen to the gospel today. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Any English instructor would have red marks all over this passage. Why? Abide, 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 right? The instructor would say, choose a different word. Don't repeat the same word over and over again. There's lots of words that mean the same thing, and it'll be more fruitful, more beautiful if you choose something different. St. John, the author of the gospel, is way more gifted than any English instructor. There's a reason that the image that's used for St. John's gospel is an eagle, because he soars. St. John's gospel is different than all the other four, the other three. St. John's gospel has an eloquence to it, right? This is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. St. John knows what he's choosing when he says, abide in me. When he repeats the same words that Jesus chose to repeat to his disciples. How is it that we always remain fruitful? By abiding in him. Now, when I think of abiding, the first immediate image that comes to my mind is me on my dad's lap in the rocking chair in the living room of my house. When I think of abiding, I think of a little baby in its mother's arms. When I think of abiding, I think of a hermitage where I just look up at the stars and let God be and be one of his little ones. However, abiding has a much different connotation. The word abide is similar to these. Obey, observe, keep to, hold to, conform to, adhere to, stick to, stand by, act in accordance with, uphold, accept, go along with, defer to. Why is this essential? Because the first one can be put into a place in which we just think, following Jesus is just receiving so much beauty. Having everything work out the way I want. It's like being in a comfortable place for the rest of my life. That's not what Jesus is saying. Now we know that when we blossom, we know that being rooted, we know what it is to have peace in our lives, to have joy, to have friendship, to have the fruits of the Holy Spirit, to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit operative in our life. We know what that's like. But what he is saying is to have that continue to be the way in which our life is, we must adhere to him. We must connect to him. We must hold to him. We must follow him. We must stay with him. It's a thing that he did, but we must stay too. And it gets us out of this dreamland that we think of as Christianity and reminds us we are called to be an active participant in this world. And it doesn't mean it's all going to be lollipops and candy canes. There are times in which we will have to say, I need to stick with you, Lord. I might not want to. It's not easy. I don't understand. And isn't that true, Lauren and Wyatt, that in your journey, you've already had those moments? So it's not as if we don't know that that's a part of his plan. But we realize there's a way when we stick to, when we hold on, when we begin to ask, we question and we pray. Somehow there becomes a day in which the veil is lifted again and we think to ourselves, I'm so glad I kept with it. I'm so glad I had friends to help me overcome. And the grace that is received, what Jesus is talking about when he says, abide, is being given in the context of the Last Supper. It's really easy. This passage is always taken aside. Abide in me, stay on the vine, stay on the vine, stay on the vine. And we forget this is being given to us at the Last Supper. He is telling his disciples, stick to me, connect to me, follow me. And so, how is it that we are called to abide with him? Connect to the supper. Every single gospel speaks of this gift. Every single gospel talks about the flesh and blood that Jesus says will be given to us. But it isn't the church that runs throughout the world and gives everyone Jesus. It's he who comes to us through the church, and we must connect. We must adhere. We must say, I want to be with you. He is here every day, all throughout the world. And everyone is created in a way in which he wants us to be fed by him. And so, here we gather every Sunday, and many of us every day of the week, because we know that what it is that makes us fruitful, what the blossoming is in our lives, has its origin in him. And at times we can get forgetful. But we recognize when we begin to wilt, we need to find him again. And the church has never seen the Eucharist as something separate and on its own. The church has never seen the Eucharist as a personal piety. The church has always seen the Eucharist celebrated within the assembly, which means ecclesia, and ecclesia means the church. The church has always gathered together to receive the fulfillment of the command Jesus gave, do this in remembrance of me. And by remembrance, he doesn't mean something from the past. He means like a mom or a dad saying, remember who you're talking to. And so we come here to be reminded he really meant, my flesh and my blood will be given for you to receive and to grow. When we come to the Mass, we come to receive Christ in multiple ways. And so today, Wyatt and Lauren, isn't the first time that you receive. It will be the first time, Lauren, you receive in this way, and it'll be the first time that you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in confirmation. But you have received him in the church. through the scriptures that have been proclaimed to you, through the Bible studies that you have been a part of, through the ways in which the Word of God has nourished and reached your hearts. And you have gone back to receive from Him. And it has been given to you, Christ, in the assembly of people. Lauren, I think you have a few friends here. If you are a family member or a friend of Lauren, would you please stand? Thank you. Each one of you have been a way in which God desired for her to grow. Each one of you have been an instrument of something beautiful that has said to Lauren, yes, I want that. And each one of you now today comes to say, Lauren, how beautiful. We thank you for coming to celebrate and share in this gift today with her. Wyatt, you have a few friends. But not as many as Lauren. First of all, I'd like for the front row to stand. These are the guests that Wyatt has invited here today. But Wyatt, you are a witness to us of a community of people that call us in. If you are a friend of Wyatt's, would you please stand? Wyatt, you have people who have helped you blossom. And in a special way, you may be seated. The group that's over here belongs to the track and field at the university. And you have been a part of a special grace that one by one has filled these pews. You are unique and individual. But might you always be reminded that you didn't show up here on your own. And other people didn't show up on their own, but they did because you were here first. We are all going to other places. We are all going to different parishes, different communities of people who are alive with the faith of Jesus Christ. And I will promise you that there will be moments in which it won't feel like you are abiding in Jesus. And you will say, where are all my friends? It was so much better when I went with all my track buddies. You will say it was so much better when everyone that I was hanging out with the Newman, we all went on Sundays. Maybe this is what he means when he says, you will be pruned. And you will grow in your ability to say, Lord, I need you. And you will discover that this place isn't alive because everyone showed up when it was alive. It's alive because someone came first. And each of you are called to be those people in this world. And for you to stay present in a parish and in a place and with a people long enough that you can say, Lord, how is it that you want me to help someone else grow? And it might just be simply staying after Mass long enough that someone else who has been longing in their heart to reach out to you can catch you. And you'll discover the importance of what happens outside in this hallway after Mass. Or maybe it'll be stopping at a donut dinner where you feel like everybody's old and everybody isn't like me and nobody's young and nobody's this or that. And you can stay long enough so that the person can walk by that's your age and say, oh my gosh, there's at least one. Or you can go to the place that's already alive and vibrant and live within it, not attached to the vibrancy that's the fruit of flowering, but aware that there are other people who won't know how to get in. That you will understand that sometimes when things are bursting at the seams, people seem like there's no place for me and they need you to see them watching from the outside and help them come in. This is to be pruned. It means that, yes, I have something beautiful, but I must live in a way in which I can go out into this world and help other people grow. And in that way, you discover that Christ is not someone merely up there, or merely here, or merely in the Bible. But Christ is in your eyes today. He is in your arms and in your feet and in your heart. Do you believe that the fragrance you have is here? Do you believe that the fruitfulness of your life is Him? Do you see that today you have fulfilled the gospel proclamation from 2,000 years ago and have abided in Him? It's by His grace. But He always gives us a little bit of space to say, "Here I am. Do you want in?" Wyatt, Lauren, today is the fulfillment of your desire to say yes to Him. Let us give thanks that life is so abundant and fruitful.